The next point is to learn from the past projects. So while estimating projects, there can be a lot of ambiguity. So for effective project estimation, it is valuable to refer to the documents and the project reports of the past projects to assess the amount of work, time and the cost required. Now, more importantly, what happens is, say, certain projects, and this is what we've read as well, bases some of the past estimation techniques. So, say, if there is a templatized approach that needs to be followed, or say, if there is a SAP CRM implementation that has to be done, if the industry segment remains the same, the scope of work more or less would kind of remain the same. Right. So in this case, it is important to look at how the cost estimate was, which was done previously, and kind of take the same estimate with the new project. So what you're doing is you are taking your learning from the past project and then incorporating it in the new project as well. Now, there are two angles to it. Either you replicate the project as is, and more importantly, you look at what were, say, some of the successes or what were the points of failure in the past project. So, say, in the past project, while doing one particular task, you had allocated, say, X amount of days, but actually it took 2x the time. Right. So you take into account that particular learning from the past project, and then you create an estimation of the new project. From people who are doing the work, say people like coders, people who are domain experts, their experience comes into handy in such situations. Working on, say, multiple different projects across the industry, they would have developed a kind of learning curve, and basis their experience, the new project can be estimated as well. And say a classic case, right? Say if there is a particular accounting standard that needs to be deployed in, say, one insurance company. Say IRDA or the Insurance Regulatory Development Authority has come up with a new standard to deploy, say, IFRS 17 in all the insurance companies. So one particular approach, if deployed in one insurer, the same could be the learning that can be incorporated into the IFRS 17 project for other insurers as well. Right, and that's learning from your past projects, learning in terms of doing the right estimations, learning in terms of capturing the potential areas of pitfalls, and ensuring that you navigate those pitfalls in the current project. So all in all, the lessons learned from the past project should be taken into account while estimating new projects. Also, from say a project manager's perspective, if the project manager doesn't have a fair bit of understanding of the project, or if it is new to the industry, then it is important to rely on the domain experts who provide their expert judgment in terms of providing the overall estimate. Also, it means that you are kind of including, say, the human bias, but at a high level, learning from the past projects is something that is important, and all project managers do it, right? Particular functionality getting delivered, and what are the potential pitfalls, and how do you ensure that you don't land up with the same challenges in the new project is something that is a given in case of the project manager trying to adopt to the new scenarios. The next important point is to understand the context and the background. So it's not enough to quantify and understand the project in detail. So, as I said, it's equally important to first understand what is the business segment, what is the overall project that will help for the organization to achieve its business objective, whether there is a regulatory angle to the project or it's a project that has been created to solve the internal pain areas, etc. So it's important to understand the overall context of a project, understand the landscape of the business, understand the customer segment, and then arrive at the overall project expectation. So obviously you would understand the project in more detail, but more importantly also understand the ecosystem around which the project has to be shaped up. So for example, things like whose brainchild is it, right? What would be the end objectives for certain people if the project goes through? How would it benefit the company in terms of, say, not just solving their business problems, but also saying how could it affect the overall profitability of the business, right? What is the situation of the department where the project is initiated? Economic context of the company, etc. So this is what we spoke about, right? Say a project like IFRS 17, and it's a classic example. Say if the insurance regulatory body comes up with a compulsion that all insurers have to go through IFRS 17 as the accounting standard, then it's a clear economic impact on the overall company. It's a project which has come because there is a change in the regulatory environment. And that's where you would see a lot of business stakeholders also getting excited about it. So it's something that has to be done. Then it helps you to ensure that the critical project timelines are delivered and are met with, because it's a regulatory thing. You cannot afford to miss the deadlines. So it's important to look at the overall context of this particular scenario. So it helps you to understand the criticality. Getting a good grasp on the overall context, the situation, and the background would help you not just to estimate it better, but also to ensure that the internal prioritization happens. So from a project manager's perspective, so assuming that the IFRS 17, or let's take one more example. Let us say that SEBI, that is the Securities and Exchange Board of India, has directed the stock exchanges to submit reports about transaction in one particular format. Which means that the project has to get delivered in the right time frame. Now, if from a project manager's perspective, you need one subject matter expert from, say, the derivatives trading, who's worked on creating that particular functionality, right? And he is, say, occupied in another project. So for you to ensure that you pull that and assume that you are the project manager. So for you to pull that resource in your particular project, because you know the overall context of the project, it becomes easy for you to push that request through, ensure that you get the right kind of support from the internal stakeholders to ensure that you get the project resource. So that's what I mean by saying understand the overall context and the background of the project. The other important point is to ask the right set of questions. I've said it before, ask as many questions as possible. Ensure that, because after one question, you get something more about the project, be it say the project or the intentions or say the clarity, etc., etc. So one of the biggest obstacle to accurate project estimation is the lack of right information and a good understanding of the context, situation, and background suggesting the project. So important thing is ask as many questions as possible till the time that you get complete clarity, or at least most of the clarity for you to start your work. It is essential to do the right mapping. Ask, say, as a project manager, you would ask your counterpart, who is the right person who would be in a position to give you this information. So it's not always that the project manager knows everything, correct? Even he will have to rely on, say, the business users, the business stakeholders, etc. So ask the questions, who are the right people, and then get information out of them. The more you ask, the better it is for you, because you then know multiple things that are important for the success of the project. And the more you ask, which means you have you get better information, you get the real information from the people who it matters the most. And the more you ask, the better and more accurate the estimate will be. So in fact, it is said that a project estimation process is a road full of asking the right set of questions. Asking the right set of questions to the right set of people as well, right? And that's part of questioning. So you question who are the right set of people, and then ask the right set of questions to the right set of people. Some of the questions might be, say, things like, what is the overall goal of the project? What is the expectation of the customer? And as I've been saying, expectation is something which keeps changing. So it's important to document the expectation, important to have a sign-off between, say, both parties, sign-off from the business owners and sign-off from the project stakeholders. Understand who are the stakeholders, who would be the team members involved, where are they based? So are they based in the same time zone, or there's a time zone difference that you have to cater to? Are there any internal power dynamics or power politics at play which might stop certain people giving information to you? Now, as say a project manager, it's although it's not a written rule, but then it becomes important to look at these power equations within the customer ecosystem also. So just to give you an example, if there is one particular functionality that has to be developed and you need input from certain set of people, now these certain set of people might have different agenda in on the business side, I mean, which make them not give the right set of information. So as project owner, you need to be cognizant of the fact that there could be certain hidden agendas at play, and how do you kind of then maneuver this? Maybe rope in, say, the senior leadership team, or rope in the right set of people to get the answers from them. So it's important to look at these. And some of the direct ones being, say, what are the kind of technologies that are used? We spoke about dependency of the technology. So say things like database compatibility with the application, or software compatible with the hardware, things like the software license getting end of sale or end of support, or there is a license renewal at place. What is the overall budget of a project? So these are more direct. What is the expected timeline? Have you defined, say, certain milestones and created those milestones in the overall project delivery timelines? Have you captured what could be the constraints or dependencies, say potential obstacles that might be involved? Have you captured that as part of the risk register? So the more and more questions that you asked, the more understanding you'll get of the overall project. And then it helps you to shape the project with that critical knowledge. So ask the relevant set of questions and ensure that you have a great amount of information which helps you to deliver the project smoothly. Let us look at some of the actions to improve the existing estimation. So you've done one level of estimation which is say your baseline. So how do you improve that particular baseline? So first is re-estimate the project at several key stages. So now, for example, after say completing the requirement specification, the architecture design and the detailed design, you create or you revisit the estimation at each of these stages. So after you've gathered information or you've gathered complete business information, is it something from what was earlier envisaged? Will that have an impact on the overall timelines or the cost or the number of people involved, etc., etc.? So that's an important thing to do. At every stage, you can validate the assumptions made and more importantly, revisit the validations. So you had earlier, say, put certain assumptions. So now revalidate that assumptions at every stage and measure what has happened in reality. So use this constant feedback loop after one particular step or one particular stage has been completed. See what was that accuracy that you developed in that particular stage. Were the assumptions that were earlier stated match with what has happened in reality? If not, then ensure that the learnings get captured in the next stage. Ensure that then you re-estimate the next step, incorporate the feedback, the learning from the previous step. This will give you enough tips to recalibrate the remaining part of the project. At the end of the project, record the actual values for the size, effort, schedule, cost, and staffing. So needless to say, re-estimating the project after the completion of critical stages or attainment of key milestones, so as to help the next steps getting estimated accurately, and more importantly, taking corrective action. So say if one particular stage earlier, say you had anticipated it to be completed within say 4 weeks, and instead it took say 5.5 weeks, which means there were certain assumptions that were taken which were not correct, which also means that the next stage or the next key milestone that has to be delivered, you need to factor that 1.5 week or 2 weeks of delay that has happened in phase one, ensure that it gets delivered, the same mistakes don't get repeated. And then you also do a re-estimate. So say if the timelines need to be extended, etc., etc. Start maintaining your historical database. It may or may not actually help your current project, but you are building an important knowledge bank for future reference. So as I said, you're obviously working on one particular project, but more importantly, you are building your experiences, and this experiences can be widely helpful as far as the other estimates are concerned. So you take the learning from this particular project and replicate it elsewhere. At the end of the project, review your estimate against the actual and evaluate what did you do right and what are the things that need to be improved in future. Use the lessons learned to improve your estimate for the next project. Actions for the next project. So review the current state of your software development process. Is it chaotic? Does it have some order or structure that you generally follow? If it is chaotic to start with, then any estimate you make had a better taken into account. So even better, try to reduce the amount of chaos. Obviously, bring the certainty into place. Establish a more predictable development process. Isn't something that you would do overnight, but with time, effort, a little bit of work in this area allows you to have a better control over the overall project execution. So, having said this, ensure that your past learnings get captured. Ensure that you're not repeating the same mistakes, be it in terms of, say, resource alignment or, say, doing background checks, in terms of, say, hardware, software, better alignment or scheduling of the resources, etc. So, these things would help, definitely help you in your next project. Create a first draft of an estimation procedure document and follow the procedure while estimating. See what works and what doesn't work. Adjust as and when it is required. So there are multiple different templates, so you don't have to start from scratch, but important thing is to have that belief to adapt and ensure that corrective action gets taken. That those are some of the key areas. Allow enough time to do project estimates. So obviously, if possible, do a bottom-up approach rather than a top-down approach. So yeah, top-down approach takes the least amount of time, but also isn't highly accurate. So ensure that you give the right amount of time for project estimation and use the right kind of estimation technique. Decide when you have to re-estimate the project. Say, as we discussed, re-estimating after every stage or milestones while doing the re-estimation of the project plan. Start the education of managers and customers about the accuracy of the estimates. Offer estimates as ranges, and more importantly, explain the uncertainty and the risks associated with them. So, as I said, risks have to be captured, assumptions have to be captured, and these have to be communicated so that even the customer is aware about the risks that are inherent to the project, which might lead to, say, delayed timelines. Lastly, take your time and sharpen your skills. So, good project planning estimation needs quality thinking time. The more time you can devote to comprehending and considering planning estimation, the more accurate the predictions would occur. Documenting evidences not only clears the clutter but also becomes an important source of reference for future projects. So, as I said, document as far as possible, take a sign-off, get the understanding from your previous projects, and constantly upgrade on sharpening the skills. Work on defining, documenting, and improving the overall software development project. Investigate the tools which are better to be used in a particular scenario, basis the nature of the software, nature of the business, etc., etc. And when you get time, study the estimates of other projects. Obviously, to incorporate that learning in somewhere else, but it's important to do a or revisit the project once it is delivered and see the potential areas where you went right, what are your learnings, if there were any complexities, How do you ensure that the same complexities don't occur in the new project as well? With the end objective of getting better and better with time. So the majority of the estimators would have failed at their first attempt. I mean, but fail is not actually failure. I mean, it's just a first attempt in learning, right? So you fail, you learn, and then you bounce back. So at least they tried doing it. So feel proud of the fact that the first attempt, if it was not successful, then it's nothing to be disheartened about. The only thing is how quickly you can adapt to the situation. So how do you kind of take that learning from that failed attempt and ensure that the same gets replicated in your other estimates? Keep trying. Only continuous practice and experience will make you better over time. In fact, it's said that failure actually teaches a lot. So imagine a situation where everything went well. So you are not faced with a situation where you had, say, massive problems to deal with. And this sometimes hampers your capability to think out of the box. As it is said, right, the best of delivery happens within a pressure situation. So where there are things bound to fail, there are tough arguments between people, expectations mismatch, but then it's also a place where you learn a lot. Learn a lot about how do you navigate through ambiguity, learning to how do you manage people's emotions, and obviously manage technology, timelines, etc., etc. So more importantly is to keep on learning, getting better with time, and ensuring that those experiences are captured. So when the project ends, or even when a project milestone gets achieved, check back how the estimation is working. Was it slightly off the mark? Was it way off the mark? How accurate you were? Try to analyze what went wrong. Write down your views, comments, so that it can help you in the next estimate. Whenever possible, interact with the project manager to understand the pain points while working on the project. You may get a lot of practical insights, the on-ground realities that will help you to refine the estimate in your next cycle. It's one thing that you create estimates on paper on your particular approach, but how it actually works on ground is something that you can learn a lot from. So that's what it said. Interact with different people to understand the actual pain areas, because the on ground feeling might be completely different. So just to summarize, too much complexity is one of the prime reasons for failure. We started with that. And these complexities are built into the world of IT, and it's no running away from it. Overloading of IT people, as well as a high rate of attrition, makes IT projects difficult to handle, complex, and it's one of the cause for project failures as well. Due to the rapid change of obsolescence in this particular industry, enough expertise on older technology and versions might not be easily available. And all these means that there are no ready answers, or there is no simple way to break down a complex problem. So simplifying the complex problem is the best bet for success in this particular volatile market. So with this, I would like to say thank you. You've been through the entire course. I hope this course has been informative to you. My key takeaways would be to look at project estimation techniques as guidelines, incorporate the past learnings, take feedback, opinion from the customer, client, your internal stakeholders, domain experts, functional consultants, which ensure that the project estimates are accurate. And one more important facet is ensure that there is a continuous feedback that keeps happening for you to understand, evaluate, and build upon your knowledge to sharpen your skills. So with this, I'd like to thank you for viewing. I hope this has been informative to you, and thank you once again.